Let your light shine. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians is right after 1 Corinthians, if that helps you. Try to be helpful like that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hopefully you have that by now. The writings of Paul to the church at Corinth. And we're going to look at it in just a minute. But right now, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we get into your word tonight and having our Bibles open, we pray that our hearts and souls will be open as well. And that our spirits will be open. That you, Holy Spirit, might visit our spirit to look, search, see, examine the areas of our life that we need at this moment in time. We thank you for the honest truth of the Word of God. We thank you that upon it we can build our entire life, go to it, get wisdom, knowledge, strength, and comfort. And now for guidance. Speak to us, Father. Only you know the need of each and every one that's here tonight. We know that they've come in from work. Some haven't had supper yet. We know that many different factions happen. But when it's all said and done, we're here tonight in one, as one people, with your book, with you, and with your spirit, and with you, Lord. And so we invite you to visit with us tonight. Speak to us tonight as only you can. And we thank you for that. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask and pray. Amen. About 10 years ago, in 2003, small country of Iraq, you might have heard something like this going on. It would be at a headquarters somewhere in the Marine Corps, and it would go something like this. Victor 5, this is Victor 2. We are taking fire, request heavy artillery support. Taking fire from a mosque. Victor 5, Victor 2, this is Victor 5. Negative, we cannot fire in that mosque. Rules of engagement say we cannot fire in our mosque. Victor 5, this is Victor 2. We have to have fire support. We are taking heavy casualties. Victor 2, this is Victor 5. Say again, we cannot give you artillery support. It always is this way, it seems like, in battle. The enemy always seems to have the advantage. Back during our time in Iraq, as well as Afghanistan, the rules of engagement were we were never to destroy any mosque, any religious building of that nature. The enemy, however, could go in and from the top windows shoot at our Marines and our soldiers, as snipers would do, and fire from that mosque, but we, our rules of engagement, were forbidden to fire back. The destruction of that mosque might cause the general population to go against the Americans there at that particular time. The enemy always seems to have something of that nature that always makes us, we feel, at a disadvantage. We find here that when I gave you this typical firefight, we find here that the rules of engagement seem sometimes always one-sided. The enemy, however, is not impossible. But we do find at times they do build an enemy fortress. They do build an enemy fortress, or what Bible would call a stronghold. And this stronghold we find identified in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the pulling down of fortresses, the pulling down of held up areas that almost seem like they're impossible to penetrate or bulldoze through or bulldoze over. For an example, back during World War II in the island of Iwo Jima, From 1942 to 1945, the Japanese had 3 years to make this island an impenetrable fortress. An island 4.5 miles long by 2.5 miles wide. When it was all said and done, tunnels were going through, in and out throughout that small, entire island. As we bombarded that island on February 19th, 1945, before the United States Marines came ashore, we bombarded it for 77 hours. Battleships in the bay would carry 3,000-pound shells. You would think after 77 hours, that whole island would be sunk by that time. Not so. Word was given at 9 o'clock in the morning to go ashore. They met, the Marines did, with heavy resistance. The enemy had built in 3 years a stronghold to defend that island. It was of strategic importance because from that island, B-29 bombers were then able to go to bomb the island of Japan. When it was all said and done, after 30 days were over, and after the flag was risen on Mount Suribachi, that famous Marine Corps icon, over 22,000 Japanese gave their life for that island. At the same time, 7,000 Marines. More than what has been killed in all of Iraq and all of Afghanistan combined together, 7,000 in one 30-day period. A stronghold. A stronghold indeed. As Christians, we have to understand we are in a spiritual battle. I know that we know that. And we need to understand that our enemy, Satan, can launch attacks at us in our lives. But maybe what we do not understand is sometimes these attacks come from a stronghold that's not necessarily from without, but a stronghold from within. From within our own lives, we're going to be able to explain. Understand in this message, we're going to be looking at Paul's letter to the churches, to the Christians, who have allowed Satan to have a place in their life, who have allowed Satan to have a stronghold in their life. First of all, let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4 and 5, a stronghold starts within us and our own sin. Look at verse number 5. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He's building upon that last verse, verse number 4, the pulling down of strongholds. We find in this passage of Scripture that a stronghold is anything that has been built up that resists the things of God. Anything in our lives that have been built up that resists the Word, that resists the Spirit of God, anything in us that has been built up that seems to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. It is a stronghold because it comes from within. It can come from hardened hearts. It can come from rebellious lives. It can come from a variety of issues that we hold on to quietly and privately that no one else may know anything about. Strongholds that we have within. It is that stronghold that we need to understand that we have a hand in making it happen. We make it strong by rebelling against His Word. We make it strong by exalting ourselves above God and His truth, thinking we don't need help in that area, thinking we can handle it in our area, thinking that it's okay, it's just a little game I'm playing, I'm just having a little bit of fun, it's not going to hurt anybody. I mean, after all, I'm hurting nobody else, but I'm just flirting with temptation. It's a stronghold that we've built up for ourselves. We made it strong by hardening our heart to have God take that out. It's built up because we're hardening our heart, not allowing God's Word to penetrate inside, to allow God to have free work and free reign in our lives. It is an internal stronghold. And we are, in a manner of speaking, digging our heels in against the things of God. Secondly, Satan then builds on that strong hope. Look, if you would please, at the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You go to Galatians and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 24. Ephesians 4, verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not sin go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There's that stronghold. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are called or sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Paul, to the church here in Ephesus, has warning them about the sin of anger and bitterness, reminding them that they, if they're not careful, can have internally things built up in their life where they are angered and bittered about a stronghold that you just can't quite let go of. Paul, in verse number 27, then tells them because of that sin stronghold that they can give a place to the devil. Let not the devil have place in your life. You can allow him to have a toehold. And then when he gets a toehold, he can have a foothold. Then when he gets a foothold, he can take more ground and more ground. And suddenly, you've got a stronghold in your life. Because we may not have confessed it. We may not have made it right with God. We may not have gotten to the point in our life where we have allowed God to have free will. We've not yielded. We've not submitted unto him. We find here that since he is referring to anger and wrath, Paul is teaching us about something within our heart, within our souls, within our will, our emotions, that which is on the inside. Remember, a lot of times we blame the things that happen about what's on the outside of us, but a lot that what does happen, especially strongholds, takes place on the inside. As Christians, godly, spiritual, yes. But sometimes we can allow our emotions get the best of us. We can be as godly and spiritual as possible, but then something happens, something takes place. It resurrects an old hurt. It resurrects an old anger. It resurrects an old resentment. And suddenly, without warning, emotionally down deep inside, we have allowed that stronghold to take hold again in our lives. And so we find here that this happens many, many times. And when that stronghold is there, it's a stronghold of the devil. From that point, like in Iraq, an attack can be launched. An attack can be launched on our lives. And we wonder, where did that come from? Because we have personally maybe catered or personally coddled or personally endorsed the liking for being angry at somebody. The liking of being bitter at somebody. The liking of resentment at somebody. Because we've liked it, we've held on to it. And because we've held on to it, the devil's got a foothold and therefore a stronghold. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 5, he comments once again about casting down imaginations and thoughts. Imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. It's an amazing thing how imaginations just kind of run away with us. I mean, it doesn't take much of thinking about it. For you men, it may be that you're shaving in the morning and you're getting yourself ready for work and something imagines in your life. Something comes as an imagery in your life and it's there that resurrects something that you thought was old and settled and long gone, but it comes back again. Maybe it was a phone call. Maybe it was a previous conversation. Maybe it was a run-in with somebody that kind of resurrected and brought back again. What you thought was old and over and covered under the blood, but we bring it back. We bring it back because it is something that we just can't quite get rid of. It's a stronghold. A stronghold. Imaginations. Thoughts. Verse 5. Everything, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And that's where the rub comes in. We have the knowledge of God. We know better. We know what the Word of God has to say. We know we shouldn't be angry. We know we shouldn't be bitter. We know we ought not to hold grudges. But it happens. It takes place. It may even catch us by surprise that emotionally, I didn't realize I had that in me. I had no idea that was a part of my life. I had no idea that was still fresh in my mind, and the hurts hurt all over again. It's a stronghold. It's a place that the devil seems to have. Listen, Colossians 2, verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Believing the ways and the tradition of men, worldly ways, can give Satan a place. Maybe there are some things from the Word of God, even from the church, that not quite agree with. Maybe there's some things you have issue with. Or, as we are looking at this particular month of October, and you're looking at the calendar, and you're saying, whoa, my goodness, look at this full calendar. I just really don't know if I can handle all of this stuff. It's just too much to think about. It's just too overwhelming. I mean, we got one thing after another, after another, after another, after another on Sunday. I really don't know if I could really put any effort into doing anything. Why does the church have to have so many things? Careful. Creating a stronghold in your life. Careful. You see, my friends, we are not here to serve Brother Eric Crawford. We are not here to serve Brother Wiggins. We are not here to serve Brother Latta. We are here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in His church. And because of that, if that's what our pastor says we do in order for us to get people in, to see people get saved, in order to have families come that we might visit with them and talk to them, rather than being in opposition, looking at yourself, how tired, looking at yourself, how you can't do it, looking at yourself, how you don't have, see how you can handle it, look at God, say, God, use it in spite of myself. And consequently, you'll not give place to the devil. But it can happen so easily. Because we may not agree with everything that happens and takes place. Believing different spirits. Had a lady in our church in Kansas. She had unwittingly subjected herself to letters from psychics. And they were sending in these letters over and over again. And she had yielded to that by giving a response back. That's why they kept writing her. And she, after a while, got tired of it and came to me and said, how can I get rid of this? What she had done was opening the door and allowing a stronghold of the devil to come and hinder her in her life. She wasn't even aware of it. Sometimes habits that we have, like smoking, drinking, whatever the case may be, can give the devil a place in our life. Obviously, we know the answer about porn. No question about that. All of these issues and much, much, much more can give the devil a place in our life. We may want to kid ourselves and joke to ourselves, it's just me, it's just a game I'm playing. Nobody's getting hurt from this. This is just something I'm taking a sneak peek at. My wife, nobody's going to tell. My people at work are not going to know. Careful that we don't give the devil a foothold in our life. Whatever is contrary to the Word of God can give Satan a place in our life. It's not demon possession. Do not misunderstand that. But it's just saying, I allow, I permit, I willingly let my guard down, and I give the devil a little piece of ground. You give the devil a little piece of ground, he'll take more. He'll take more. I can't think of a place that we let our guard down the most. It's in a place that we're the most familiar with. Home. Now, as a Christian, you may be prepared for the wiles of the devil where you are at work. You're prepared for the bad language and the dirty jokes and maybe them making fun of you as being a Christian. You're prepared for that. You're ready for that. You pray up for that. When you drive, you're prayed up and you're ready to go to work and you're ready against whatever may go on at work. But when you get home, that long drive with all the traffic and the stress of the job, and you're wanting to get home and kick your shoes off and relax, that's sometimes where we let our guard down. And if we're not careful, we give place to the devil by not being aware of what goes on. You want to watch TV, you want to watch the news about the government shutdown, your kids have questions and they've got homework or things that are going on, and you're just mentally and emotionally not ready, you're not prepared to answer all of that. You just want to shut everything out and relax, have your own time to decompress. And humanly, there's nothing wrong with that. But spiritually, be careful. If we're not careful and on the offensive and ready, the wiles of the devil can play tricks on us. And therefore, we give a hold, a stronghold to the devil. Areas of our life can be controlled by Satan because we've given in to them. We've yielded. We've invited him to be a part of our life. We allow that door of opportunity just to creak open just a small bit for him to look in, to say, well, you know what? He opened the door. She opened the door. She allowed that point. He allowed that area. It must be okay for me to put my foot in. And from that point on, who knows what can happen? The more we give in to Satan, the more he fortifies positions in our lives, strongholds. Thirdly, a stronghold brings torment. Turn, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, the first book of the New Testament. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. I'm looking at verse number 33. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 33. And it says here, Should not thou also have had compassion upon thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due to him. We have a story here where the Lord was being willing to forgive a servant. But the servant had someone who owed him money. He wasn't willing to forgive them. And in turn here, we find that this individual made a conscious decision to not allow that person to be forgiven of all that was due him. And so we find in verse 34, the Lord then was upset, wroth, mad, and delivered him to the tormentors. You like this kind of thing? Okay, I'm just going to let the tormentors have control of your life. We find here that once we've allowed Satan a place in our life, even for a short period of time, as a base of operations, we can expect more than what we bargained for. If we're not willing to give up that foothold, if we're not willing to give up that stronghold, if we're not willing to give in, if we're still have a hardened heart and an attitude that just won't yield and just won't do what you know the Bible says is right, be careful. The Lord could give you over to the tormentors, those that would torment your life. In Matthew 18, the servant wouldn't forgive that which was owed him. Master gave him over to tormentors to cause pain, torture, things in his life that were very uncomfortable. And sometimes, Christians, we need to be careful that we don't choose and create within us a stronghold of sin where the Lord may give us over to tormentors. Maybe some demons. Maybe allow the devil, like Job, to torment our life and our whatever may be going on. Where ultimately we see that we reap the results for going against God. We reap the results by not allowing Christ to have full control, and we reap the results of just not having Christ having His way. Once Satan has gotten a place in your life, watch out. We find here the Lord may give you over because you have said, I don't want to get rid of my bitterness. I don't want to get rid of my anger. I don't want to get rid of my resentment. I don't want to forgive brother so-and-so. Be careful. You could be opening the door for torments. Number four, a stronghold can be torn down and lost ground can be restored. It sure can. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, looking at verse number 4. And it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. I am glad we don't have to enlist in the military to say, you know what, I want the newest plane that General Dynamics makes. I want the F-22, I want the F-35 in my side. That would be good in a human sense if you are a warrior in the United States military. But our weapons of our warfare are not carnal weapons. They're spiritual weapons. You cannot fight the devil by human-to-human battle. You can only fight the devil spirit-to-spirit battle. Hence the spiritual warfare. And we are told in this particular passage of Scripture that they are mighty through God. The weapons we have in this day and age in this warfare are mighty through the Lord. And because of these mighty weapons, they can pull down those strongholds that we have. Remember now, Satan may have ground given in our life. We find that from that ground he can launch attacks, depression, anger, lust, temptation, bitterness, you name it. Can all happen. To tear down those strongholds that we have allowed, we must understand that we need mighty, strong spiritual weapons for the attack. And first we find the weapons of our warfare. We must overcome Satan's strongholds by the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would please, by Revelation chapter 12. Last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 12. And I am so glad that we've had the Gospels in the first part of the New Testament, but now to reinforce and then now to really put it all together in the last book of the Bible, we find in Revelation chapter 12, look at verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent which is called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God, our God, day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. We find here one of the ways we can overcome the stronghold is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, Christian, Jesus Christ has already died on the cross and saved your wonderful soul. But now we can come by the blood of the Lamb and say, Lord, please apply the blood in my life against that which I have allowed, the stronghold. I've allowed it. I permitted it. Please apply that blood. Please, please apply that blood. At the time Jesus was nailed on the cross, Jesus snatched a legal document. All the ordinances and laws of sin that were against us, that document that Satan had used to help nail Jesus on the cross, by that all people would be condemned to an eternal fiery hell. And it was like prosecuting attorney's indictment against us on how we have broken all those laws at the cross. Jesus took that document that was against us and had it nailed to the cross with him. All of our sins, past, present and future, were nailed on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 2, if you would please. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians is after the book of Philippians. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse number 13. It says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. There's that ordinance I was talking about that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. We find that these ordinances that were nailed to the cross, he spoiled the devil. He spoiled the principalities. He spoiled the demons. He spoiled the powers. You want to get rid of the footholds in your life? Apply the blood of Jesus Christ and you'll begin to see the difference in your life. Secondly, confess your sins to God. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He, Christ, is able and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This differs than the sin of our salvation. This differs from being forgiven at the sins of our salvation. As a child of God, when we sin, when we fail, we need to acknowledge it. If we confess, if we acknowledge our sin. Let's say for an example, my little son John, when he was smaller, 6'6" now, when he was smaller at home, was running around the house playing and knocked over a living room lamp accidentally. Now I saw him do that, or I saw him leave the room immediately. I heard the crash, went in and saw that he was the one. Nobody else in the house to have done that but him. I would say, John, come here. Did you knock over that lamp? I knew he knocked over that lamp. He knew he knocked over that lamp. But I wanted to hear it from his own mouth. I wanted him to acknowledge it. And Christian, when the altar call is made each and every service, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is asking. He is saying, I know what you've done. You know what you've done. I just want to hear it from you that you know it was wrong. Again, if you want to tear down those strongholds, confess our sins unto God. The confession of sin is a way of giving testimony to Satan that the work and the blood of Jesus Christ is effective. You can't bother me, Satan. The work and the blood is totally effective in my life. And I acknowledge what I've done against God. Thirdly, you need to ask God to regain that surrendered ground. Ask Him, I want to regain that surrendered ground. The book of Ephesians, if you would please, once again, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Every day we surrender ground to the devil, and again, every day we need to come and say, Lord, as a part of my confession, I want to ask that you help me to regain that lost ground. In the battle today in Afghanistan, we have to physically fight for that lost ground. We have to physically fight for ground that the enemy has taken over. But here we have mighty weapons of God. And that's the advantage you and I have over the devil, my friends, because our God, our Lord, our Holy Spirit is greater than the devil. He's greater than the Satan. He's greater than the demons. Greater is He that lives in you than He is in the world. And you can ask the Lord, help me to regain that lost ground. I'm sorry for what I've done. Help me to regain that lost ground. That's what the psalmist was saying in Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. I want my soul right with you once again. I want to regain fellowship. I want to regain lost ground. And fourthly and lastly, we must tear down those strongholds with the truth. With the truth. Once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, we find these words. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We must tear down those strongholds with truth. Remember, we created them. The devil's come in. And now we can, with God's help, regain lost territory. And we can say, Lord, I want your word to search my life with your wonderful truth and help me now to act on that truth. I know what is right. In fact, I knew what was right from the very get-go. But I chose not to do it. I chose to remain mad. I chose to remain angry. I chose to hold bitterness. I chose these things purposely in my life because it made me feel good for whatever reason to be mad at that person. But now, Lord, I don't want to be mad. I want to love that person. And I want to restore lost ground. And I want to know the truth and have that truth as a part of my life. By doing that, the cleansed life, our strongholds against God can be pulled down. And by having that, we can tell the devil, guess what, Satan? You're not welcome here anymore. You're not welcome here as a part of my life. And we can get the devil and boot him out of our life. Rules of engagement sometimes are not fair. When I was in the Kansas Air National Guard, we had pilots that were Vietnam vets. They were pilots who had flown in Vietnam. Many of them had flown over North Vietnam, had over 100 and some missions. And many times as they flew over North Vietnam, they would look down below and they would see enemy MiG-17s and MiG-21s that were on the runway. They could tell that their jet engines were going. Fire was coming out of the tail end. They knew the planes would come up after them because the American planes were laden down with bombs. Sometimes as many as 6,000 pounds plus of bombs. Planes would go up behind them because they were bomb laden and shoot the Americans down. Rules of engagement. They're on the ground. President Johnson said, can't go after them. Until they are airborne, then you can shoot them down. But when they're on the ground, even though you know what they're going to do, even though you know they're going to come after you laden with bombs, and maybe cause you to eject your bombs prematurely so that you can get away, you still can't bomb them on the ground until they're airborne. Rules of engagement. Humanly, dumb. Stupid. Idiotic. Who'd ever thought of that? But the rules of engagement that we have, my friends, from the Word of God are mighty. Strong. The pulling down of strongholds. You and I, with heaven, with God's help, with the Holy Spirit, and with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, can conquer strongholds. Can pull them down. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here tonight and you'd have to be honest and say, yeah. Yeah, I've held on to some areas of my life I know I shouldn't have. I've allowed something. I've allowed a Christian. I've allowed something in my life to just get the best of me, and I hold on to it. Or I've got a pet sin, a private sin nobody knows anything about, and I go to it from time to time when nobody's around. It's a kind of a game I play to see how much I can get by with. You know what's right, you know what's wrong. This is a so-called cream of the crop on a Wednesday night. And yet I'm sure for all of us in here in some form or fashion, there is the open door, the allowance of territory we've allowed the devil to take over. Wouldn't you like to get rid of that tonight? Wouldn't you like to say, Lord, I don't want any strongholds for the devil. I want to be open, yielded, totally surrendered. I want to just surrender it all. I don't want to have any area of my life held back. I want it all totally surrendered to you, Heavenly Father. I pray that you'll bless as we have this invitation speaking to us at this moment, realizing the strongholds are indeed dangerous, detrimental, harmful, hurtful. We will not have victory if we allow them. We'll have only hurt and frustration in our Christian life. We'll only just exist in our Christian life. We'll not be functional as a Christian. But oh, Heavenly Father, help us to come to you, to give you our all, surrender our all. We allow you in our lives to take care of us lock, stock, and barrel, signing the title deed You have it all. You have it all. I hold nothing back. I hold nothing back. And we thank you for that. For it's in your precious name we ask and pray. Amen.